This is the Country Focus podcast from BBC Radio Wales. To find out more about the programme, visit our website bbc.co.uk/Radio Wales. Hello and welcome to Country Focus. I'm Rachel Garside. This week we're on the Heart of Wales railway line, the scenic route running 120 miles from Swansea to Shrewsbury. Now there are plans to create a walking trail the length of the route, not just as a way of boosting tourism, but also linking the railway with the many rural communities it runs through. Well, we've just left the station at Llandrindod on our journey on the Heart of Wales line, and I've got very good company to guide me along the route. Professor Paul Salverson, who is with Arriva Trains, which is the company that runs this route.
That's right. We've got several different train companies, including Arriva Trains Wales, which I'm particularly fond of, living in Knighton on the line.
Now, when we got on the train, you were very specific about which side of the train you recommended that I sat to get the best view.
Yeah, well, when I travel on the line, I swap seats wherever I can, actually, because there are some parts of the line where being on the right-hand side are great, and sometimes on the left-hand side. But I think on the right-hand side, generally, is the best between Llandovery and Knighton.
Any more tickets or passes from Llandrindod Wales, please?
Good morning.
You okay?
Can we have two tickets, please?
Sure, two.
We're going to Necklace.
Necklace, yeah. Two singles or returns?
Returns, please.
Sure, yeah.
How long have you been working on this line?
Just over 2 years.
Do you have a favourite part of the route?
Quite like the Necklace Viaduct. Yeah, it's nice scenery looking out from there. It's pretty good.
Thanks very much.
Thank
nice
you.
To meet you.
Okay.
It's a fascinating line, and we're coming up to the 150th anniversary of when the line was opened in full in 1868, so we're looking forward to some celebrations then. But the line was built as a really important connecting route between England and Wales. It was built as a freight line, but there were also some express passenger trains, although it was never a fast line, to be honest. And it kept going, it did a great job during the First and Second World Wars, but it was threatened with closure in the 1960s. It was down in the beaching proposals to shut. And the legend is that there was a discussion in the Cabinet Office during the Wilson government, and he was reminded by one of his advisers that the line ran through several marginal constituencies, so we couldn't possibly close it. So it was an interesting little anecdote, which I think is true, actually. Politics does impinge on railways. But it's doing very well as a line now. It's very, very busy with the concessionary fairs. But during the summer as well, a lot of tourists use the line, as well as local people. It is a lifeline as well.
My daughter lives in North Wales, and she comes to meet me then in Shrewsbury.
So do you like this journey?
Oh, yes, I do. The scenery.
And do you always sit on the same side of the train?
No, I normally sit that side. I thought I'd sit on the left today.
Having a change today?
Yes, having a change, yeah.
I'm just soaking up the scenery and enjoying the views.
Are you on holiday?
Sort of. I left my daughters in Woking yesterday, stayed in Swansea overnight, and now I'm going back to Maidstone where I live. Yes, yeah, so I've travelled on it two or three times in the past, but not for a few years, so I wanted to catch up and have a look. It's such a gorgeous route. I just love sitting on the train and letting the world go by and enjoying it. So
you're busy on your laptop here.
Yes.
Is this a work trip?
Yes, heading up to Manchester for a couple of days.
So where have you come from?
Llandilo. It's a very convenient line, and it then means it takes a while, you know, 4 hours or so, but you get a lot done in 4 hours, a lot better than driving.
Have you got a favourite part of the route?
Any bit that when I actually manage to look out the window and not looking at my laptop, because it's absolutely beautiful.
You're missing the best.
I am, yes.
I think there's huge potential for doing more with the line. It is really a multi-purpose line. It doesn't carry any freight these days, although we have got some interesting ideas in the pipeline for small-scale freight movement. But you see people using the line regularly to go into Shrewsbury or Swansea or Llanelli for the shopping. But you also see lots of foreign tourists travelling on the line. And we want to encourage more of that, hence the idea of the trail.
Just going through a tunnel now, one of several on this route.
Yeah, it's not the longest. This is just outside Pennebont, which is a really nice station, by the way, adopted by the local community, as many of these stations are.
Now, you just mentioned the trail that will run the whole length of the route, is that right?
That's right. The idea is to use existing rights of way, and then there's so many really good footpaths that are well established along the route. So it's not about slavishly following the line all the way. We'll diverge to interesting places and attractions, make sure that local B&Bs and guest houses, cafes, pubs and so on, castles, plenty of those, they're linked in as well. So you can either spend a couple of weeks doing the whole thing, or maybe just do 2 or 3 days, or even one day. Really building on a lot of things that have been going on already. There's the Rail Ramblers who do organise trips, but this is more about encouraging self-guided walks, I suppose, so that people who want to explore a really beautiful part of Wales and the borders. It's about really bringing all the different bits together and linking up to existing rights of way and existing trails as well, like the Offa's Dyke Path, the Glyndŵr Way. So there's loads out there, but it's not promoted as a package that links into the railway. Well, obviously from an Arriva Trains perspective, we want people to use a train, but it's not just about us getting an advantage, it's also about getting people into the area and using local businesses. We think this is the first example of a long distance trail linked to a railway. You know, you've got famous lines like the Settled Carlisle line in the north of England, and there are lots of really nice footpaths, but there isn't anything that linked the whole thing together, so this will be a first.
We're travelling to Nicholas today.
As the conductor said, it is one of the nicest parts of the line. The view coming across the viaduct is absolutely stunning. And Nicholas is a nice, lively, active community. Lots of things going on, as you'll find out. Just coming into Dolai, a beautiful station. It's got fantastic gardens that are looked after by local people. It's won so many awards. Then we've got Llangynllo, and then Nicholas, which is the last station in Wales. Although the train continues to Knighton, which I'm sure your listeners would say, well, that's in Wales, but Knighton Station is actually in England, whereas the town it serves is in Wales, and you only have to step off the station and you're immediately in Wales. So it's a real border station, but there are no guards,
no, apart from
the train guard.
Oh, welcome.
Hello.
Hiya,
how
are you doing?
Hi. Hi.
Craven Arms, Church Streatham and Shrewsbury.
Well, we've arrived at Nicholas, and I'm very pleased to see a very impressive welcoming party for us here on the platform in what is a really nice station, very tidy. So I'm going to just dive in now. What's your name?
Les Lumsden. I'm one of the team working on putting together a walking trail between Craven Arms and Llanelli. And I thought that Nicholas is one of the places that should definitely be included on it.
I had strict instructions to wear my walking boots today, because you're going to take us on a little walk, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, we're going to have about a 3-mile walk, which shows off what's good about this trail and what is going to be really interesting. So we're going up to the top of the hill, and then we'll be down into the valleys where the pastures are full of sheep and lambs today.
Well, I was going to say, the view from the windows of the train was lovely. Rolling hills, green fields, as you say, full of sheep with their lambs. But before we set off on our walk, I'm just going to talk to two gentlemen over here who are what's known as station adopters. Hello.
That's right, hello.
Hello, what's your name?
My name's Jim Penza.
I'm Steve Crump.
What is a station adopter?
Well, we basically keep it tidy and put some plants out, do a bit of checking, make sure everything's all right, and report back to the management.
I said the right thing earlier, didn't I, when I said it was a really nice, tidy station?
Yeah. I look after the planting side of things, you know, the tubs, hanging baskets when they're ready to go out, you know.
Your volunteers,
yes,
I assume.
Yeah. They wanted somebody to look after the station, you know, so we did. We didn't between us.
We got plenty of time on our hands being retired, so Might as well put it to good use, haven't you?
We're welcoming lots of tourists to this part of Wales. It's important to make a good first impression, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And pretty good. They've got them on all the stations up the line, so there's plenty of people helping out.
Excellent. Really nice to meet you both.
What we're going to do is we're going to go up to the allotments and the castle grounds, and then we're going to take you right to the very top of the castle mound to admire the views. Now, I just got to give you a couple of safety notices before we do go, and that is that, one, there will be some steps up, so it's quite a climb, and that there is some soft ground in places, so please take care. Neat footwork's required. The other thing I'd like to say is if anybody catches themselves on bramble or anything, I've got a first aid kit here, and we'll send you back down to the pub early.
That's the community centre there, with a playing field and a kids' playground.
How big is Nicholas?
The census gives about 300 people. That includes some of the outlying farms.
You're joining us on our walk today. What's your name?
Kevin Jones. I'm involved with the Nicholas Castle Community Land Project. I'm one of the directors. The other director, myself and another person, bought the whole land with their own money. We are gradually getting the project to buy it off us so it becomes publicly owned land. It's 20-odd acres in total, and it went to auction for £86,000.
So you had a vision of what you wanted to do with that land, and that it would be this tying in with the train?
Yes.
I imagine there's good walking around here.
Oh, yes. I do a lot of walking. I'm involved with my local Ramblers group, the East Radnor Ramblers group.
Oh, there's the Castle Inn.
The pub.
That's where we've been promised a brew at the end of our...
Yeah. We're very lucky having an open pub in the village. So many pubs have been closed.
The reason why Nicholas is on the route is like how so many of the communities in Mid Wales have chosen to try and take, wherever possible, this route through these communities, because they're building their own communities. They're getting into a resilient position where they're looking for the future for their children, and other people walking the trail will be interested. And of course, they will be welcome as visitors, not only to enjoy a day's walking, but share the values and the chat and the conversation of that Welsh culture that makes Mid Wales different, quite frankly.
Because without these types of initiatives, these communities are quite isolated, aren't they?
They are, very much so. This community has decided to reduce its isolation and get that community spirit going and invite lots of visitors in. People do come to see the castle grounds, to see the castle, come and look at the allotments. I mean, look at this, for example. This is another dimension of building a trail. Here we can see this beautiful, freshly picked rhubarb, free-range eggs from the allotments. Walkers coming by here won't be able to miss picking up a treat to take home with them. It is just a joy, and we'll find all the way down the route that there are opportunities for payback from visitors, whether it be half a dozen eggs bought from someone's garden gate, or it be staying at bed and breakfast, spending on a meal in the town.
I love rhubarb, and I can get 6 sticks there for £1. That's good. Are we coming back this way?
We are. We're coming back to raid the rhubarb.
This is a community orchard. What, about 3 years ago now, we planted 80 fruit trees. Mostly apples, some plums, a few quince. There's no more than 3 of any one variety. Some modern varieties and some very old traditional varieties.
Welsh varieties in here, yeah.
Shall we go to the allotments over here?
Oh, I can see activity.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Siggy. We just come to say hello. We're on our way to the top of the castle.
You're very welcome to come and look around our lovely allotments if you have time. There's lots going on. It's all looking very lovely. The loveliest spot in the whole of the valley, and if you go up to the top there, you can see all the way down to Knighton and the Offa's Dyke path along the top of the valley there. And my second home is just down there. It's the little shed with the green tin roof. So, and I tend to live down here. So,
how long have you lived here, Siggy? And I don't mean in your tin tea shed.
I've been here for 9 years now. And I've been involved with the project right from the beginning. We've got loads of people down here who help us. We have a bee and butterfly garden there, which is run by a group of lovely ladies. We have a family allotment plot at the bottom, where we try and encourage parents to come down with their children and work on plots. We've got little tyres and boxes. So if they don't want a whole allotment, they can come down, use that shed, and we finance that little plot by selling the eggs from the six hens that we got down at the bottom.
This is really about local people breathing new life into their own community, isn't it?
That's what it is about. And I feel since this project has started, it was a lovely village when I arrived, but there wasn't a lot of sort of cohesion within the community. And now you get people coming down here, and there's so many people from the village involved in this project. It's a slow process. Projects like this are slow. You can't expect it to happen suddenly, but it's organic. It's growing. Each year something new happens and somebody else joins in. And we had a chap who's just moved to the village, and unfortunately we have a mole problem here, but he's an expert. He deals with our moles. And then we've got another chap who looks after our mowers. So we have so many people who get involved in little ways. It's all bubbling away nicely, and that's what makes it so special.
Yes, I must. I get so enthusiastic.
Yeah. So have a lovely walk, and do come and see us again sometime.
Yeah. Have my lunch now. Bye, Siggy. Take care. Bye-bye. Les, Necklace is just one place that people can visit on the Heart of Wales line, but you're in charge of mapping the whole of the walking trail, aren't you? So this is part of your job, right, if you like, to map out the route like this.
That's right. So we start at a railway town of Craven Arms, where they've got a discovery centre, which is a walker's hub. And we come through the Shropshire Hills, which is like limbering up for Wales, because we wanted to take the route north to south because of this feeling that you're triumphantly marching into different lands and finish at the seaside. That's the overall design of it. But, you know, we've got the new bridges on Wye, we've got the Llanwrtyd Wells, Pont y Dulles. So there are a whole set of communities down the line which offer completely different things.
You're using existing paths. Are there any gaps, though, along the way?
Oh, there are. We're trying to use existing paths wherever possible to get the best from the investment that has been previously made in these paths and trails. But we have to have linked paths between them. And this can be difficult. For example, in Powys here, there is a lack of resources, so the council will not be able to support any new trail. So that means that we have to look for paths that local communities have put in good order, or seek some other funds in order to make this trail happen, which I think the steering group, there's the Riva Trains Wales behind this, there's the Heart of Wales Line Travellers Association, and there's a group of communities like Necklace who are behind this. And really we have to look at how to bring all of these elements together to make this happen. I personally want it to happen because I now know that we have something rather special in this trail.
We've started our ascent of Castle Hill. How much further to go now, Les?
Ooh, we're not quite there yet, is the phrase. But fortunately, these steps have been put in to help us climb up.
Let's continue our journey.
We're now on Necklace Castle itself, within the monument, which is a Kedu-listed monument. There's nothing actually of the castle left.
More or less, this is where the castle keep would have been, built in the early 13th century, built by the Mortimer family, who ruled this marches with an iron rod. And it was just a show of power, because this castle didn't survive that long. It was besieged by Llywelyn II in 1262 and it capitulated very quickly then. So it wasn't actually that strategic, but if you look at it, we're looking down at the Teme Valley here, which is flat bottomed valley because the glacial overflows millions of years ago have gouged out this valley. And the castle would have just looked so daunting for anybody coming up the valley. And then if we look towards the west, you get the Hayup Valley. And that is the way in which our railway pioneers decided to make their way towards Llandrindod Wells, to the spa towns in the 1860s. And you can see that the curve of the line which follows the contour up the Hayope Valley. A very clever piece of engineering, but in reality it's a 1 in 60 gradient, which means that is a very hard climb, even for a little diesel these days, let alone the steam engines of yesteryear. And so it's the viaduct and the tunnel at the top of this valley were two of the major problems on the route.
We can see the station where we arrived, which is now in the distance and far below us down in the valley. Paul is still with us as well from Arriva Trains UK.
Just about.
Is this the idea of this project, that people can sort of take the train part of the way, get off, have a little walk and then go back? You know, it's not one or the other.
Exactly. I think some people will just want to come for a day out and maybe walk from Nicholas to Llangunthlow or Knighton, or spend several days or weeks staying at different B&Bs. So we want to work with local B&Bs and guest houses to encourage that, so it helps the local economy and the community. And I think it's a very special sort of tourism. It's not mass tourism, it's people who respect the area, want to know more about the history and the heritage and the landscape.
I'm so glad that you brought us to the top of the hill, because the view is splendid. Rural Wales in all its glory.
Okay, come on. No time for the... So here I've got a dilemma. We're coming down from the castle and I've got a choice of two routes. One is through the valley and then climbing up to Heathland in what is one of the loveliest valleys on the line. Or there's another enchanting bridle way that takes us over to Loyney, where there is another public house and there's accommodation there, and you can climb up on a bridle way up to that hill. We can just see on the other side with one solitary tree, Goita Hill. And so it's that sort of decision that we will eventually make as to which route we'll choose, and it'll be a combination of its attractiveness. We don't want to really interfere with farmers wherever possible, so we try to avoid taking paths through farmyards or whatever, unless the farmer is happy about that. And also it's the state of the paths, because we are looking all of the time for paths which are in good order, because there just aren't the resources around at the moment to put them right. So it is a constant matter of just working out which way will be best for everyone. Well, we've just come down into the Hayope Valley. This valley is very traditional farming, pasture land.
So this is the new part of the trail that you're just deciding on, and we've come to the railway tracks themselves.
Yeah, obviously people have to cross with care, but just listen, it's completely different. There's a silence in this valley that's enchanting, because the actual line of the route is a wildlife corridor, but actually stepping into the valley is a different territory within 1 mile of the village. It's beautiful, isn't it?
There's the viaduct. Wherever you are in the village, you can see it. Go up on the hills, you see it from every side. Castle Hill, obviously, and across the other side as well.
Kevin, we're approaching the end of our walk. The pub is in sight, and that promised cup of tea. Mm-hmm. But all afternoon, well, we've been walking really in the shadow of this really impressive viaduct. It's actually a better view here from the ground than if you were on the train itself.
Oh, yes. You can't really see the viaduct from the train, can you? Because you're somewhere under your feet.
And how many arches does it have?
13. Each end, you've got those unique little turrets, the castellated tops to them, which I'm told were the instructions of the local landowner when he gave permission for the viaduct to be built. He wanted this little sort of decorative thing to reflect the castle.
And it's a great focal point, isn't it, for anybody visiting the village? Right, shall we make our way onwards to the pub?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. You've got milk there.
Yeah. We've reached our journey's end, appropriately, in the Castle Inn in Nicholas, and a very welcome cup of tea in front of us all. Another resident of the village has come to join us, Will.
Will O'Leary.
And what is it that you do, Will?
I'm a stonemason specialising in lettering.
So do you see this recent, well, can I call it a regeneration, as something that's very much transforming the village?
I think it's done a great job in bringing people together, especially the work with children, really, because it's really about the future and passing on the legacy to the next generation. And it's helped a lot, especially good for dog walkers.
And do you see the train, the Heart of Wales line, which of course runs through, well, alongside your village, is really important to bring people into this area?
It's always been a big part of my vision, is that we tie everything up. Because how many people have got a station in their village? And lots of people use it. It's fantastic. So with the community centre and the station and the pub and the castle, it's a perfect way to bring that all together.
Because without something to stop and see and do, people will just pass by, won't they?
Yeah, but they mustn't. They must come. Stop in Nucklus. Get up to the top of the castle. I mean, what a view. Isn't it amazing up there?
Yeah, I can vouch for that. What do you see as the future then for the project, for the village?
The future and the really important thing is that we have to raise another £70,000 so that the community actually owns it. Because at the moment it's being leased out by the owners to the project. And we have to pay that back. But we're doing well. I mean, we're chipping away at it.
Talking to Will there and hearing about plans for the future of the village, the castle project, the allotments that we saw earlier. Les, this is what the trail is tapping into, isn't it? These little pockets of village, like of rural life, really.
It is. It's, you know, obviously people want to come mainly to look at the landscape, but at the end of the day, they want to stay at welcoming villages and towns, each one with a different feel, you know, the spa towns, the old mining towns and the market towns of Radnorshire. A lot of people have already been in touch with us. People are really excited about this. We've got Llandovery Walkers are welcome and Llanelli Ramblers. They've been out giving us ideas, paths they've walked on and so on. So as we build this sort of tapestry of a route, this thread through the communities of Mid Wales to the South Wales coast, I think it's going to be a trail which is as much about these communities as it is about the landscape. And that pleases me no end.
You've given us an insight today into how you're mapping out the trail. How long is it going to take you till we can see that trail complete?
We're at a first stage where we're drafting it out and walking sections of the route, and that might take 2 months. And it will be a couple of months to get things together. But then there'll be the big question, how do we fund improvements and seek permissions and work with local authorities to make this happen? But if we could tie all that together this year, it'd be lovely to launch a trail next year in 2017. And I want to be one of the first people walking it.
And just think how proud you'll be to say that you had an instrumental part to play in creating a 120-mile route.
It's something I've always wanted to do, and when people knocked at my door asking me about this project being developed by the Heart of Wales Line Development Company, I thought about it for at least 20 seconds and then I donned my boots. It really does all thread around the Heart of Wales railway line, which many of us love and have fought for over the years. So this will be another addition, Rachel.
The Heart of Wales Trail, is that what you'll call it?
We'll call it the Heart of Wales Trail, and it'll have that identity of the red kite there as well, because that's what you'll see on the route as you walk through Mid Wales.
Thank you very much for being our guide today. Time to finish the tea and catch the train back. I think there's one in about half an hour, so we better drink up. That's it for this week from Nucklus in Radnorshire. From me, Rachel Garside, and the Country Focus team, thank you for your company. You can hear Country Focus every Sunday morning on BBC Radio Wales at 7 o'clock. Thanks for listening.